Go to Isaiah 42. Behold my servant. In that sentence in the Hebrew, it says, behold only my servant. Okay? Behold meaning give importance to, look at, give breath to, see only. Remember in Hebrews it says that God has put all things in subjection under his feet. All things, but we do not yet see all things in subjection, but we see Jesus. It's Hebrews 2:8-9. So we behold only him. Now, ever and always, the temptation is for something to take your eyes and your attention off of beholding him and him only. Now, then this rest of this chapter gives an indicator of what it means to behold only him. You got it? That's the bottom line. Behold my servant whom only I uphold. Mine elect in whom my soul only, he's the only one my soul delighteth in. I have put my spirit only upon him. He only shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. That's a statement of eternal condition. It's a statement of covenant theology as opposed to dispensational theology that we've talked about. You got that?
Mm-hmm. That sounds dispensational, like he's going to do something. He's not going to stop judging until things get right.
Well, how does it get right in the earth?
Testing and trying.
He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, not on the earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's the lie? The lie is that this isn't true in the earth. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. You got it?
So this means until we see clearly.
That's right.
Dispensationalism revolves around the outward appearance of things.
Dispensationalism has to do with the waiting for God to do something vis-a-vis the passage of time, right. Waiting for anything to happen vis-a-vis the passage of time. Right. Covenant theology says it's happened once and for all time. It happened at the cross. It happened before the cross. It happened before the foundation of the world. And there's never anything left to do. It's finished.
Let me say something here. To me, dispensation refers not to the time frame of a soul's life, 70 years or whatever it is, but of hundreds of years, 2,000, 4,000, you know, those time periods. That's dispensationalism, where they say Jesus came in the year, the earth was created 6,000 years ago, and the 1800s this happened. Isn't that the distinction with dispensationalism? As opposed to
there's two kinds of dispensationalism: historical dispensationalism, yeah, or external and inward dispensationalism. Both of them are the same lie.
So if I'm dealing with the second one, it seems I believe in the second one, because I believe in the passage of time that we have experienced, and we have started seeing 10, 14 years ago, whatever it was, and we have continued to unfold that which was already complete, but we have had to pass through time and experience to have it revealed and made clear to us.
Yeah, but it's like...
And that's the judgment that is being set forth in this earth.
The judgment in the earth says Holy Spirit's function is, to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. What does that mean? It means that all of those three things, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, are the arenas in which the passage of time reveals what isn't. All of those three were completed before the foundation of the world. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. All of them were, everything was done. Everything was finished. When Cain slew Abel and his countenance fell, God said to Cain, "Now why are you down? Know ye not that the sin offering lieth at the door?" Abel was cried out, his blood cried out, and he was declared the first, in effect, the first member of the body. Isaiah, Abraham, the gospel was preached unto Abraham.
Even the lamb was slain before the foundation of the earth, even though in time Jesus said it is finished, that had already actually been completed outside of time.
That's right.
Time,
again, the reason this is so important is if this isn't internalized in you, then you will always base your life on something that will happen. You will never see that now is the accepted time. You will never see that now is the day of salvation. And so forgetting any theology or symptomology or anything else, the thing the arena that this will eat your lunch in is the fact that your day-to-day thought life is based on the phenomenon that something is going to happen in the future. And therefore, you can never be now. You can never give yourself now, because you're saving something for then. You're worshiping then. That's the sin. And that's why it's important to understand this internalizing, that judgment is set in the earth. That's why the Lord's Prayer is so critical. Now, we're going to talk about enemies of knowing that tonight. Again, if you don't know that, if you don't see that judgment is finished until he has set judgment in the earth, then you can't offer the burnt offering. Because by definition, with regard to the passage of time in your mind, you will always allow in your mind for the possibility of sin and trespass. Therefore, you cannot stand before the altar with the burnt offering in total emptying of that, because you've got trespass offerings to offer and sin offerings to offer. So you have a consciousness of sin, a consciousness of trespass. Understand? Now we're going to talk about why that happens. What are the enemies of the fact that judgment is set in the earth? He's finished judgment in the earth, in your earth. Okay, let's go on. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now that's what's going to happen in you. That's the promise. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory will I not give to another. What the hell does that mean? Well, we've talked about that for 100 years. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. My glory will I not give to another. Not to you. It's for his name's sake that these things are happening. Now there's enemies of that. We've studied a couple of the enemies. We've studied groves. We've studied high place identities. We've studied graven images on that identity, on that mitzvah. There's another enemy that we haven't studied yet. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass. New things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. All right, you got it. You remember what Ecclesiastes said? I mean, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. He said that that which has been is now, that which is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past. All right. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Again, from our particulars, the new song can neither be heard, can neither be understood, can neither be sung without the burnt offering. And I can prove that to you in the law, but I'll do that later. And his praise from... What?
When you say the burnt offering, you're referring to the fruit of the burnt offering, which is a total acceptance.
No, I'm saying the burnt offering. Which is everything. I mean, it's all the things that are attended to the burnt offering in the law. All of the things that the offering is. Everything in it.
Okay, without that having happened and us apprehending it.
It's already happened.
Right.
Without us apprehending it, then this stuff will always be read as something that will happen in the future. And it will always be in the future. And in interesting, in the spirit, it will never get closer. It will always get farther away. Understand? Just like in the natural mind, the whore's religion always expects to hear from God. And so, and it, I'm telling you, you may hear, but the longer you're walking, the evidence of understanding, the evidence of apprehension is not hearing from God, it's silence. Yeah. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. There are enemies of seeing. Our job is to destroy the enemies of sin without mercy. It's like this is the Terminator in terms of black and white.
What is the Terminator?
That it's
between day and night on the moon.
I know, but it's the idea that if I give you any impression that the passage of time is that your relationship vis-a-vis God is dependent on the passage of time in any way whatsoever, then I've preached heresy.
Okay, it's not the passage of time, but it's the destruction of idolatry.
And if I've given you any impressions that anything other than what you have at this instant is necessary for a complete and total seeing and for a complete and total transfiguration at this instant, then I've preached heresy. So, anytime you hear, and I trust the body will let me know if I do that, but anytime you hear something that I have said to you, and you've taken it as a vehicle which requires the passage of time for it to take place, then either one of two things have happened. Either I have preached heresy to you, or there is an enemy at work in your mind. There's only those two options. If you don't understand the urgency that in a twinkling of an eye from now, the body may be transfigured. And if you think that there's anything left to do for that to take place, any passage of time, anything that could take place in time, then you are deceived. If you think that you need anything other than what you have at this instant, either for your spiritual well-being or for your existence in the world, you are deceived. It's not smart to be deceived. There are some enemies of faith, and they must be destroyed. And they must be destroyed without mercy. There's no way that you can understand what I'm talking about by your reason. The highest you can get to by reason is, my sin is as scarlet. There's nothing I have, there's nothing that I know that I have ever discovered or seen by reason. You must know that by now.
Yeah, because reason by definition is something that happens in time. I mean,
you have to come to the end, at the point in which you say, this is impossible, I'm without hope. My role to you is not to convince you of the validity of a particular argument with regard to passage of time. I do it a lot of times because I'm patient. My role is to cause you to come to repentance.
How you had to have every question answered and stuff like that. I took that to mean that I had to, my reason had to be satisfied, that I had to, you know, work through all this stuff and improve it and all that. And like you say, all that ever came to and all it ever comes to when I do it now is seeing that my sin is a scarlet. So what does it mean to not be slothful when there's a moment, you know, when there's something that's unanswered? I mean, you're not going to be able to reason it out. You're not going to be able to figure it out. I mean, is all that reason stuff just child's play? Is that?
I'll tell you one thing that has been in me. The need to understand, the need to reason it out and figure it out and understand it, for me is a way to, has been a way to avoid repentance.
Yeah.
I've had this little rule in the back of my head that I've thought God has been bound by, which is I can't be punished for something I don't understand. If I don't understand it, that's a good reason. And it's bullshit. It's bullshit. But that's how I have used it. If I can keep from understanding it, I don't have to come to be in.
I I feel like, you know, we're looking for some kind of rule. I feel like you're, you know, what do I do then?
I'm really not. I'm just making a statement that that's what I have come to in my trying to reason things out, is that the only thing I ever come to is what a shit I am. You know? And I guess what if I was asking the question, it was, why does there seem, in my mind, seem to be this discrepancy about what we say getting rid of sloth means, or not settling until it's answered, or, you know, there's two different things going on there.
Well, but look, it's not what we do, it's what is. If you're in sloth, you're outside the camp. It's not anything that I do or don't do. That's it. You're outside the camp and you're without hope. I mean, that's the truth. Now, how you get back in is between you and God.
I think he's just saying don't settle for being outside.
Yeah.
You've got to follow the impulse, is the point. If Harry uses the impulse to hide, or if Harry uses it to hide, and he's not following the impulse, he's hiding. But if on the other hand, your impulse is to try to figure it out, then you've got to do that, you know, until you reach the end. I mean, it's different for each of us. Just like Willie said, if you're out, how you get in is between you and God. Well, it can't be the same necessarily for Harry as it is for me.
Well, it's always the same. It's always through repentance, confession, and forgiveness. Yeah. And that can take place that quick.
Well, I meant in terms of what is and what isn't.
But you can't cleanse yourself. And you cleanse yourself when you rationalize away a particular. The fact is, the reason you may be physically here and in confusion, and that's okay, is God's grace. And in me, it's because the reason I don't just, you know, I said before for the stealth group, you're going to be out if you're out. But the reason I don't do that physically or say that physically is because there are some things that, you know, part of me wants to say, this is necessary in order for you to understand this so that you're not guided by it any longer. And so, you know, if I followed my first impulse with regard to dealing with, especially in the stealth group, I mean, the moment you were in any other place other than joy, you'd hit the door, Mac.
And a jettison apparatus.
I mean, then you'd come. You'd do one of two things. Either you'd blame everything in the universe on me, or you'd get back in the camp. There is no righteousness in misunderstanding. There's no rightness in not seeing. There's no rightness in sincerely saying, I'm trying. There's no rightness in being confused. All of those are dark. They're all black. There's no gray there. They're black. They're blacker than the depths of hell. They're blacker than the outer darkness. There's only all light or all black. Capisce? I mean, that's the truth. What do you do about it? Well, I can't tell you. Your heritage isn't to live in blackness. Your heritage isn't to live in grayness. Your heritage is to be transferred from the kingdom of, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen. That's your inheritance, your right, now, this instant. But there's an enemy at work. And you can give the ground back, all of the ground that's ever been gained, back to the enemy in 1 second. Amen. Every bit of ground, every bit of your patience, every bit of your activity for 10 years or 15 years or whatever is given, can be given back to the enemy in 1 minute, 1 second, 1 nanosecond. You understand?
I'm familiar with that poem.
Every bit of the ground. So it will be as though you never heard anything. Common denominator of all of it, of every step outside, every inch of gray area and every inch of black, is establishing your own rightness. That's the only thing that can take you into the gray or the black, is the need or the attempt to establish your own rightness. Comes in a million guises. As Satan deceived or beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Listen to this.
See that problem actually.
The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind, only the blind, by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in the paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. I will, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. But they shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are our God. Now, what are the graven images? What are the molten images? The graven images is everything we've studied with regard to the high place identity and the rules, the images on that, the ideals of what it should be. They're primarily intellectual. But then what are the molten images? The molten images, the images were cast by pouring molten metal into a mold or over a frame. The images were cast of gold, primarily of gold and silver. The most noteworthy is Aaron's molten calf and Jeroboam's molten calves. Now, the worship of the molten images is roundly denounced, totally denounced, in all of the law and the prophets. Most always they were set up and they were gold and silver. Now what does that mean? Gold meaning they were trying to establish their own glory. Silver meaning they were trying to establish their own redemption. They were molten in a particular shape. Therefore, they defined internally in you your emotional response to phenomena. Especially to words, to images, to concepts, and whatsoever, it's your emotional response to those phenomena that are the molten images within you. And most of you are guided by those and not by God. You're still guided by Him. You think God is great when you feel good. And you think God's out to get you when you feel bad, or always out to get you or something. You think life is wonderful when you're not in need. Life is terrible. I've told you before, the reason this never hit me with this impact before is because, you know, most of you don't when I've told you before, you don't believe me when I said that I can never ever remember being lonely or depressed. Those are two molten images. They're the fruit of the molten image. My imagery was graven. But for most of you, your imagery is molten because you define your terms, your gods, your successes based on the emotional content. And the moment you do that, you might as well have never believed. Do you understand?
How's an emotional response different from a compulsion?
It's totally different. The compulsion comes from the groves. It's subconscious.
Okay. And the emotion is
the emotional
conscious.
Is conscious. The groves are your subconscious primarily.
Yeah.
The graven images are your intellect.
Yeah.
The definable things.
This is good. This is
and the molten images are your emotional content in terms of defining your emotional response by a particular thing. The greatest one of them that you've all covered with gold and you're all worshiping is the idea of love. It's the molten calf that you've built and defined your own emotional content to it. And so when you define and look at someone that you're supposedly in love with, you're not worshiping that person, you're worshiping a molten image. And if that person who's real doesn't meet up to the emotional standards of that image, then oh poor me, oh poor sincere me. The second biggest one is religion. You have an emotional definition of your religious concept and therefore, well, it just didn't feel right. Tell me how the cross felt. You want to take them all on? Dignity, romance, all of the emotion-laden words that you have, each of those, you have a molten God that you have defined and you're following it and ignoring Yahweh. And you have placed Yahweh's name on that molten image. Because you have defined your relationship to Yahweh, to God of this universe, by its emotional content. How you feel about it. Oh, I just don't feel it. Well, you dumb fuck. The peace of God which passes all understanding, which passes all emotions, shall keep your hearts and your minds centered on Christ Jesus. When you see the vanity of following these molten images that have defined and led you around like a sacrifice to the slaughter by wringing your nose. I've always wondered why I was different. I was different as a child with regard to this emotional stuff. Now I see why. Because had I not been like I am, I would have been so locked in the sea of that emotion that I could never have been pulled out to identify it. I don't want to ever hear one of you tell me how you feel again and define your relationship to the God of this universe by that emotion. I don't want to ever have one of you tell me how you feel with regard to your wife or the brethren. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's all we have to know. And we are eating of the common bread. And make the peace of God which passes all understanding, all emotions. And wipe out those false gods. And the next time one of you worship them, you haven't seen me mad yet. Let me read the rest of this section that you might see. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed. The trust in graven images. Let's say to the molten images, you are our gods. And there's two totally different concepts between graven image and molten image. Graven is a word that means to hew into shape, to hew, to like to write. I mean, and molten is masaka, which is the deal of pouring. And it's interesting. It's the root, same root as the word for the libation or the drink offering. That rather than us being poured out, this is the, in the same way that Molech is the phoneme for Melech, and Bema is the phoneme for Bama, so here, just with a vowel point, the drink offering is something that's changed into a molten image.
Instead of poured out, it's poured into a predetermined shape.
Right, and it's that which defines your glory, i.e. that's why it's gold. Or it's that which defines your redemption, therefore it's silver. And your redemption or your glory is defined on your emotional content. It's so sad to see these people that are led about, you know, in whether, I don't care if it's Pentecostal or Charismatic or the various rock concerts, all they're doing, it's the same thing. They are worshiping a molten image and they go through certain liturgies to cause them to reach a point that satisfies that molten image that's overlaid with gold. And it's an emotional feeling that's beyond reason. Therefore, you can't attack it by reason.
What interests me, what you just said, is it can be satisfied and it has great rewards.
Yeah, the other thing that you've got to understand about all images, no image or custom or anything else is founded wholly on superstition. If it does not answer to some real human need, and if its foundations are not laid broad and deep in the nature of things, it will perish. And so that's why your imagery has been successful.
Because it's based on that real thing, but it's taken
from the child of Satan's makeup.
Amen.
It's placed in
explain
a God-like part.
It's based on a what? I didn't understand that thing, why they've been successful.
Because it was successful in terms of it met that need within you.
Same reason, but not everything wasn't whole, it wasn't complete.
But it denigrated quickly.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like taking a security in feeling this way or feeling that way.
Yeah, the largest.
Yeah.
And just one of the largest industries in the world, the largest illegal industry.
drugs entirely based on moral images.
That's right.
Absolutely and entirely, because it's a, you are tithing to that feeling. You're
worshiping.
Totally worshiping.
Okay, they shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, and say to the molten images, you are our gods. Now, you don't go around and say that, but that's the way you respond. And God sees it. And he tells you, you know, you might as well be out there worshiping the god of cocaine or something.
Or Jack Daniels.
Or the god of Jack Daniels. Doesn't matter, just because it has a religious name on it.
It's something based in time.
Yeah.
Because an emotion can't be sustained.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, for many of you, your molten images are connected with sexuality. But anyway, that's another story. Hear ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Now that's the, I mean, if you're blind to those things, you can't possibly worship them.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yeah. I never saw the connection between talking about the blind people and the images right next to each other.
I get an inkling of this idea of being so free, you know, of being free from your own feelings about something.
That's right. That's why it says be instant in season and out of season.
Whether you feel like it or not.
Yeah.
And that's why the idea, I mean, pain is an emotion. Illness, in its root cause, in its root arena, is an emotion that you worship to give you this perverted rightness.
Yeah.
Well, it gives you, this is different than the groves. This is not life related. This is, well, we'll get into all that later. But
well, I don't have anything specific to say, but I'm getting this confused with groves. I mean, I see that there's some.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, they probably overlap, but
yeah,
the pain and illness are overlaid with these molten images that all the emotional content that those terms and ideas have.
Yeah,
I'm sick, so now I have to respond to this situation like this, and you know, it makes me feel this way. And
almost all of the negative emotions, in fact, I would go so far as to say all of the negative emotions are covered. They're the molten images covered in silver, because it's by those negative feelings that you think you will be redeemed, i.e. guilt.
You're paying for
something. You're paying a price.
Wow.
Yeah.
The positive emotions are the ones that overlaid in gold.
Yeah. You're paying your dues.
Right.
I mean,
it's redemption.
It's the whole
silver redemption, gold is glory.
What was the goal?
Glory.
Yeah, but what were the examples?
Oh, the positive emotions like love or sex or joy or
feel good, warm fuzzies.
Do you understand that? Do you understand how you worship the negative emotions because you secretly believe they're the payment?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and I'm saying that there's an array, a constellation of feelings. And that particular constellation defines something. There's a constellation of feelings that define God. There's a constellation of feelings that define family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
If it feels this way, then it must be this.
Now, almost all of them have. Almost all of them have are related. Interestingly enough, and I'm not ready to go into this tonight, but just trust me on it. That almost all of the molten images are related to words, i.e. emotional response from words. So therefore they're related back to alphabet.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay, let me go on.
Let me ask one question. The one, the positive one, you said the negative are like the silver, and by those you'll be redeemed.
It means you're paying the price.
The price, but
the gold
is the glory.
It's like those are the ones that you, for which you define success or glory.
Glory.
God is here if I feel right, or
appreciation.
Jesus feels this way. Appreciated.
You can tell it's done if it feels this way.
Right. Feel you're appreciated, huh?
I feel the anointing.
Yeah.
Now, who they come? I wish that
was good. All of you understand?
When you're talking about learning, I know, you know, feeling bad associated with sickness. And I've been watching when Jacob's sick, you know, I think it's a learned thing. He doesn't get depressed. You know, I mean, if anything, he's, you know, he's more giving. But it's different with me. It's different with even Jessica and Pam. You know, we have this guilt thing associated with sickness, and it's tied into this silver part, this redemption, that somehow I'm paying my dues. And then if somebody doesn't appreciate that, you know, then they stepped on a button. You know, it's a real, there's a real emotional thing tied around that.
Okay, everybody getting a picture of it a little bit?
Tired.
What?
Tired.
Tired is another one.
Tired is
one. Ooh.
It's a way.
That's a big one.
It's a big one for me.
Well, I must have really worked on that. Well, is this like bigger than just emotions? We're talking about sensations or sensory stuff or...
Jeez, who could ever say these are bullshit?
Because the intellectual thing really doesn't have much to
let me speak. It's hard to define these three control triggers that are the root cause. The groves are your subconscious responses. They're almost all groves are fetish. They're private fetishes. Now it's important you understand this.
What's a private fetish?
A fetish is something that all of the molten images and the graven images are communal. In other words, they're common to the society.
There can be worshipped by
a lot of different people.
Right. Whatever,
right. But the grove phenomena come out in the form of fetishes, and they're very private, very. In the ancient times, it was these little private little thingies, like that were their amulets that were private to them, unique to them.
Like special underwear or something.
Now, the fetishists are, in our language, fetish has to do with sexuality. I mean, in its original form, fetish just meant private phenomenon. But in the private arena, it's a good, I mean, in the even though the fetish phenomena is a good example, because each of you have a series of fetishes, and they are connected with sexuality. Okay, now, hear me. All of the fetishes are the private phenomena that are grove-related, and they're underneath your consciousness. They're beyond your control. You got that? The graven images are the ones that are particularly associated with a high place identity, and it's the floppy disks that we talked about. It's all of the imagery of success and failure and programming that are primarily intellectual. They're not devoid of emotional content, but the phenomena is that they're on the graven image, they're intellectual. Or the molten images are emotional content, but both the groves and the fetish, I mean, and the graven images both serve that.
Serve the molten?
Yeah, because the success or failure of both, in many ways, of both the groves and the graven images are based on the emotional response to them. But we have to, what we're doing right now is looking at molten images independent from it. Now, there's interrelationships, and as we continue on this high place process, we'll be able to see them more clearly. Well, this stuff,
it has just blown my mind.
This stuff is, again, we've talked about it. I mean, this is stuff that's probably never been studied. So.
Yeah, I don't believe it has. This is wild.
You know, this is rigging stuff. I can feel this rigging stuff.
Yeah.
I hate to use the word feel.
Yeah, you can't use any personal pronouns.
No time-related sentences, no personal pronouns, and no emotional
terms.
Christy will just have to glow.
That's why he'll speak to us in a pure language.
It's like...
Hit him twice. You didn't hear
you
it.
You put your arm down, I'm going to whack you hard.
Oh, that's what I told
Josh.
It was another one here. I missed the holy underwear.
The holy underwear.
Wait, no. So how does one of these two serve?
I don't have to feel bad anymore. So.
All right.
I mean, like one example of two, a grove and a grave and serving a bowl.
Is an opinion about something changes as a result of an emotional experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your boredom is an emotion. And so, for me, I got bored with my images, my graven images. And so in that case, the graven images were interrelated to the molten. There are certain grove fetishes that I still worship, and they're directly related to the molten image and its success. You understand? Okay, let's go. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf is my messenger that I sent? Who is blind is he that is perfect, and blind is the Lord's servant. Seeing many things, now it's talking to you. Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. This is a people robbed and spoiled. All of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. The Lord built the prison. The Lord dug the pit. Therefore he hath poured out upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew it not. And it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. You understand?
No.
When you are walking after your idolatry, you are walking in the fire. When you are walking after the molten images, when that's what you're following, then you are walking in the fire, but you know it not,
yeah.
And you're being burned, and you laid it not to heart.
Right. I thought you were saying something
else. Now let's go to one other place.
When you're burned there, is that like okay? So that's the great the molten image that's burning you.
Mm-hmm.
No. You're in the fire. All of it's in the fire. All of it's in hell. It's in Gehenna. You're walking out there to serve it.
You're ignoring the fact that you're in Gehenna. It's not. I see what you're not seeing what's really going on.
Okay, go just over to Isaiah 41.
Isn't it in fact how you keep from seeing that you're in Gehenna? Isn't that the purpose of it? Isn't it, in a way, the purpose of the molten images, a way to hide from knowing that you're in Gehenna?
Yeah, because your spiritual condition, vis-a-vis as you as religious, your spiritual condition is defined by your emotion, your feelings. Therefore, you're not following God, you're following that false image.
And the irony is that when you worship these images, you're becoming sensory deprived or something, like you're dead.
Right.
And so something else weird is going on there too, because it says, you can't talk, you can't feel.
Right. Produce your cause, in verse 21. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. I love this one. I love this one right here. I love this part. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth. Come on, come on, guys, let's contend. And show us what will happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. Or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. But the only way it'll take place is if you produce your cause. But you sit there in your private prison houses defining your own righteousness. You're afraid of me?
He's saying to the idols, go ahead and do something. Yeah, and the same way the people that worship him the same way.
Saying the same
you're
thing.
You're unable to do anything because you...
No. Behold, you are of nothing. Your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun he shall call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. As Harry was saying, if you're a female, you're fortunate because you have experienced, to some degree or another, all of you, a hormonal phenomena that describes or defined your emotion based on a monthly cycle. Now, the reason. The fact that a woman bleeds is for many reasons, but one of the reasons is to show us the vanity of these gods. Because no matter how spiritual you are, no matter what condition you are, no matter if you've got 15 anointings of the Holy Spirit, when you have PMS, you're miserable. Do you understand? That happens over and over and over and over again before our very eyes. What does it show us? Well, that's how we stick hormones, we do this. No, it shows us that among the bride, there, that the molten idols, the molten images, The wind, they're nothing. They're nothing to be given breath to. For those of you who've taken drugs, you know that taking a stupid little pill or something, putting it in your mouth or putting it up your nose or in your veins, you can be in euphoria. You can see God, see Jesus.
But you must come down. You have to come down.
For those of you who have some hormonal imbalances, you know, if you eat too much salt or sugar, you go up and down, up and down. All this is right before our eyes, and yet we still worship it. Now, I want to declare to you the victory of the destruction of these false idolaters. That you might be free from chasing after your emotions. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
That's what's set before us.
There's something about, you know, that thing where Paul talks about running a race and how a strong man runs a race. Temperance and I will not to be brought under the control of anything. And I'm starting to experience a real anger at being able to be dissuaded or moved off a straight track by depression or these stupid things.
I spent all day thinking about this, obviously, and for the most part, for most of my life, as a vessel, even when I was real little, I could focus so that nothing disturbed me. Not my feelings, not anybody around me, not my parents, nothing. And I don't know, you know, we've talked about it so often, I don't know how to relate to you with regard to all of the things about, you know, depression and loneliness, and a lot of fears and stuff that hasn't been my experience. I don't know how to. But I see now why, and I said it earlier, but let me clarify it. If you're so totally caught up, if God had made me so that I was emotional, so that I was always in some, you know, then I couldn't have escaped it to see out of it. You have to get out of it before you can see it. But by the same token, you don't denigrate whatever position you have. Those molten idols have served a purpose up until now. Now you can walk in newness of life.
Yeah, of all the things we've talked about since I've been here, this is the most liberating personally. Because this is what I feel like I have done my entire life. I have worshipped graven images, but they never were as important as the conceptual molten images going on in my life. And I see how I pursued them in drugs. I see how I pursued them in women. I've just seen it.
Right.
Yeah. I feel it.
And it's a two-sided coin because it has been trying to get good feelings and a fear and trying to avoid bad feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other part. That's why. Yeah, but that's why the for some of you, the preaching of the cross has been so difficult because of the attendant fear that's connected with it.
Yeah.
Well, all I'm promising you is no matter what emotional condition you've been in thus far, no matter how much you've been whipped around by these emotions, the more you've been whipped around, the greater the depth to pour out the drink offering. You understand?
This is wonderful.
This is so good.
Yeah.
Now,
I was sitting wondering one day, how can I only preach? I mean, I was thinking about being depressed. You know, I've had two of the worst, most embarrassing times of my life in Boston. In the Bible study. It was a night that we didn't have too many people coming.
And I just said, not much was said.
Oh, shoot.
And I thought, well, golly, something is wrong. Something, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with, I wouldn't be in this position if I wasn't supposed to be. So I knew that something else was the matter. And so my idea, you know, I had to dismiss the idea about not being able or there not being any ability. That had to go out the window. But then then my feelings about it, whenever you came over that night, I was having, you know, I was wrestling with this thing about whether or not I should feel bad about it. The upshot of it was I realized that I just wasn't saying what was there to be said, that it wasn't anything more than that. But that, the fact that you put us in these places, you know, really fucked with a lot of those emotional things about where we are, if we're where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I know on this level I had to trust, you know, I said, you know, maybe child's play, but I said it a bunch of times. I know what Ollie told me, you know, and I've been going through this thing. Well, there's a possibility, you know, that my mind is, you know, how complete a liar is it? And I would go back and forth with this thing, I know that's what the foolishness of preaching is, I'm in the same way Rick is about having such a tie to these molten images. I mean, they were the verification of God for most of my life.
Yeah.
And it was taught for you to be that way.
Sure.
Because you had to feel it so you could go down the aisle. You know, if you didn't feel it, you don't really feel it. Yeah. Don't go down the aisle.
Yeah.
You know, and all this.
Well, I want you to do me a favor. And I want you to make a list.
Take it twice.
But I want you to make a list in two arenas. One, silver molten images. Another, gold molten images. The silver ones are the ones that are primarily the negative feelings by which you secretly, you may not consciously know it. It's almost to the arena where you expect to feel bad. If such and such take place, I will feel this way. Or it's hard to, and I'm.
If I see my sin, then I will feel this
right.
way.
Yeah, I've got pain and indemnity.
Now, the other part is the things where you're led around by the golden molten image, where your validity, your identity, your personhood, your worth is defined by that golden image, and your relationship to God defined by that golden image. Now, again, I don't know any other way to do this. The only way I know to do is what we've done in the past. And that is that through the openness and through the starting of the process, that you'll be able to be free as these things come to mind.
Yeah. Well, I just already think of all the... I mean, I can see them when we talked about the graven stuff and pillars, you know, like injustice. All that, I mean, that's almost totally...
Yeah.
Emotion with me, you know, and then all these other little things about how to do stuff related to that on the graven stuff, you know, get the power from this molten thing.
They not only get their power, they get their justification from the molten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's like when I'm into that place of being worshiping the feelings, I mean, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in nothing.
Right.
Because he's not meeting up to this molten image.
Yeah. Now the reason that we can study this stuff now and appropriate it is because we as the stealth group has entered the promise. You understand that?
Totally.
Okay. Well, that's because, and because we've spent the time in the wilderness. Now you periodically, your mind may get confused and you go over and think you're back in the wilderness somewhere in the world. But in truth, you're permanently settled in them.
That's right. From now on, I'm just going to have faith responses to these questions.
anything that happens like that is only to prove this.
Yeah, it's to prove it. That's right.
That's
good. Okay.
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.